Oh no.
No, what's up?
You can see the little squiggly bit at the beginning. Yeah. Is where my bottle suddenly
shook. No, that's the bit. Can't you just cut that out?
I suppose I can.
Not to make more work for you, sorry. But...
No, it's okay. Alright.
Hello.
Hello.
My name's Asya.
And my name's Manvir.
And this is Audacious Aunties.
Woo! We have come back after a year.
Literally, it's been so long, I can't believe it. I feel like we talk about Audacious Aunties so much that it doesn't actually feel as long as it's been.
Yeah, I think the only thing that made me realise that it had been a year was when I went onto our Instagram account, which is a hot mess, but it's going to change.
And watch this space.
When this episode comes out, it will have changed and everyone will be like, wow. Audacious Aunties is on the up. But yeah, no, so our last post on the Instagram is from like either April or August 2021.
And I don't even want to talk about the Twitter.
No.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, so anyway, we're back. Yay.
Excellent. And this is the thing that really spurred us on to be back is the fact that this month is a very special month for all the Bissies out there, because it is South Asian Heritage Month.
Yep. And as well as that, it's coming up to the 75th anniversary of partition. And it's a big thing for us even now.
Indeed. I mean, 75 years isn't even that long.
No, it's not. But at the same time, it still feels like very much directly affecting us.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, and I feel like I've really felt that over the past, particularly year, I've just been thinking about partition more.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it has so many repercussions.
Exactly. And what better than for an Indian, a current Indian, and a current Pakistani to be talking
that sounds
about
so
it?
I don't think that's actually going to change.
I mean, no. As in, like, post-partition. The beginning. In the beginning, we were just the British
That's
India.
True. We were all Indian back in the day.
Yeah. So it's great that we can talk about it and give, like, two different sides of the story, yet the same story.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, that's what this is the episode then. This episode is about partition, guys. Long story short.
Yeah, we're gonna be going through our personal stories, some recommendations of literature and documentaries, and just generally seeing where the chat leads us.
Yeah, I think ultimately this will probably be quite a big therapy session for us.
Absolutely. So strap on in, kids, because it's group therapy now.
Right, so for those who may not know too much about partition, do you just want to give us a quick... I'm giving you the responsibility.
I need to make Miss Plan proud.
Yeah, do you just want to tell us a bit about what partition is?
Indeed. So basically, the basic facts are that partition happened on August the 14th, 1947.
15th.
Well, okay, so this is where we begin our controversial... No, okay, so partition happened in August 1947, and the official Pakistani Independence Day is 14th, and the official Indian Independence Day is 15th. So basically, however you decide within those two dates that partition happened, that is when it was. And that basically meant that the greater... pre-partition India was split into two. Mm-hmm. India, and then, well, kind of three, because there was India and then West Pakistan and East Pakistan.
Yeah.
And then I doubt we'll touch much on it in this episode, just because there is not a Bangladeshi here to represent themselves. No. But then in 1971, East Pakistan became Bangladesh.
Yeah. So that's what happened then. Like, for more context, I suppose, it happened very suddenly, very quickly. It was a very traumatic experience for the countries that were to be made. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew where the border would be until, like, either the day or the day before.
Yeah, and even then, once the border was made, so many ordinary people it took so long for information to properly filter to ordinary people to, like, fully know what was happening.
Exactly. And the idea of the border as well is really important, because it wasn't just like, oh, where's the border? Like, oh, I don't know where it's going to be. It's like, where do I go according to my religion?
Yeah.
Which is like the big point to talk about, I suppose, in mm-hmm. what partition, in the repercussions of partition, mm-hmm. and what it still has for us today. So a lot of like Hindus who were on the Pakistani side, a lot of Hindus, Sikhs had to come to the Indian side, a lot of Muslims had to go to the Pakistani side, and yeah. along the way there were so many horrible crimes committed from either side to the other, mm-hmm. like people were killed, women in particular were like just murdered, mm-hmm. it was just a horrible time.
Yeah, and as is a very well-known fact, was the largest migration in human history.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess the, like, religious aspect... it's really interesting, like, how it was... I feel like it was really suddenly, especially for most ordinary people who were just, like, living their lives, and then one day, like, were like, we just have to up and leave.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess on a political level, there were, like, for years, different aspects, like, had it almost brewing up to this boiling point
yeah.
of then just the worst... tearing apart of a nation.
I think that's one of the things, especially about this time in history, where you realise how different the politics was to what was actually happening on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes when the politics was, like, meant to be very peaceful, there was just complete chaos and violence on the ground, whereas at other points when the politics was just so cutthroat and horrible, often on the ground lots of people were trying to promote peace, and you just constantly get this shift between the two throughout this period.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just ridiculous, because obviously we're coming to 75 years down the line, and we still directly feel this impact. Like, we have constantly been talking about how our friendship is a miracle given this fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hopefully we can explore that a bit more by talking about our family's partition stories, and mm-hmm. then like how it has affected us to this day, like from Windrush to our friendship now.
Yeah.
And just like looking a little bit into more personal stories about an event which can feel so big in numbers but maybe less personally understandable, or like,
yeah, like it's so easy to just get caught up in the big numbers. And I especially, like, at GCSE, even though I knew logically that this impacted my family,
yeah,
like previously when we were studying partition at GCSE, I found it myself really easy to get so removed just in the way that it was taught.
Definitely.
And how it's taught, it's so easy to just remove it to, oh, learn these dates, learn these numbers, this was an important person, this was an important person.
Yeah.
And just totally forget that for actually a lot of students, that's actual generational trauma that you're teaching us.
It is ridiculous. So, like, as people probably know, we are from Birmingham,
yeah,
which has a huge South Asian population. And with that, with that immigration of so many South Asians, has also come a lot of the problems post-partition mm-hmm. into the UK, into Birmingham. And, like, it is so wild that we were studying this time period about our, like, families, about our histories, yet it still felt very removed. Like, mm-hmm. genuinely, I didn't ask until a few months ago what our family's partition story was.
Wow.
Like, so the idea of it being removed is, like, such a big thing, and mm-hmm. there's, like, I think still, I don't know whether or not it's the case with your family, but I think with so many South Asians, talking about personal histories is not something that's done regularly.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, yeah, I guess it...
I feel like your family are quite good at talking about
their lives. Going, they love talking about their lives and their past, so to be honest, can't relate.
Yeah. Which is also, like, an interesting thing as well, just, like, how different people have dealt with it. But
yeah.
My family have definitely had this, like, stance of just not talking about history, which is really sad.
I think that it's also quite interesting, because your family came over in the 1960s?
Yeah, 60s, 70s.
Yeah, so, like, how, especially for the first person who came over,
yeah.
they would have been in, like, the new India for, like, only a handful of years. Like, how much did they connect with what India looked like to the new India,
yeah.
like, as opposed to, like, the India that they've grown up with.
Yeah.
Like, I always find that so interesting, especially for people who have come to England so early, like, especially Pakistanis, because I guess that was a new country, like, Pakistanis who came in, like, the 1950s and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, what does it actually mean to you to be Pakistani when
yeah.
that was only your home for
yeah.
a couple of years?
Exactly. And, like, what kind of values do you then bring into this country as well? Like, how do you shape your life around something that was so, like, two things that are new, like immigrating and then having a new country? So it's wild. So on that note, let's talk about our stories.
Indeed. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. So my family are from Punjab, which is the area that was, well, one of the areas that was cut into. So partition really did affect my family. And as I have already mentioned, my family are not very good at talking about their history. I only actually properly asked my uncle and my grandma a few months ago what our partition story actually was, if we even had one, which is even silly to ask if we even had one, which I think is the extent to which I feel a bit removed from my family's history, or like how hard it is sometimes for my family to talk about our history. So back in the day in 1947, my family were living in a village that happened to be on the right side of the border for, like, according to our religion. The village was very much like Sikh dominated. Maybe a few Hindus, I'm not too sure about that. But when I did ask about the partition story, like, one thing, the main thing that they said was that there were two Muslim families living in that very small village. And I think the village was only about, like, between 100 to 200 people.
Right.
So, like, very small and tiny.
And everybody knew everybody.
Yeah. And so, for context, what was happening during the time of partition was that a lot of people would be going from village to village trying to, like, kill people of the other religion. So it was, like, a very scary time, and I think often we study a lot of the things that happened in urban areas, and I think with partition, lots of people don't realise how it was just, like, a whole country, like, involved event. So it did affect, like, rural villages a lot. And I think maybe for rural villages in particular, who were getting information maybe a bit later, it was maybe particularly scary. But anyway, my family said that, thankfully, this village did protect the Muslims, the two Muslim families in it. So they were hidden when people would, like, come to the village to try and, like, kill them. Which is just, it's just so terrifying to think of that. But besides that, we don't really have many other stories about partition. So I know that some other family members were on the wrong side of the border, but besides that, I don't really know, like,
what their journey was.
Yeah. So what they had to do to get over, what happened. And when you, like, then start thinking about the statistics that we learned in class about partition, like how some women, for example, if they knew that there were, like, people of the other religion coming to the village, like, in advance, they would have to kill themselves. Like, they were forced to kill themselves, honor killings. And, like, we learnt about that as 16-year-olds at school. Like, I learned about that again during my degree. And I think it was only until recently when I started thinking, like, oh my gosh, that could have been, like, a family member of mine.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying to just, like, really put it into perspective, like, what my family had to go through. Like, I'm not saying that my family did do that, because I just genuinely don't know. But it's terrifying to think that that's a possibility, and just that that even happened, and just that constant fear, and how that's shaped my family now. Like, so I don't know whether or not you want me to continue, like, past partition into, like, Windrush and my pet, like, family immigrating here, or if you want to do your story first for partition specifically, and then we can go into, like, the further later history.
Let's do partition and then later history.
Excellent. Okay. So that's my story. Now give me your
story. That is really interesting, especially about the whole how, like, the people in your family's village, like, protected the Muslim families that were there. Because I've been thinking, so I spoke with my grandma about it last November when I went to Pakistan, and my great uncle, who both. So my great uncle was 18 when partition happened, and my grandma was 9 years old. Basically, both of, like, my dad, so my mum's side of the family, they were in Multan, which was on the right side of the border. So I've actually never really spoken with them about it, but they didn't need to migrate.
Yeah,
they stayed where they were.
Do you know if there were many, like, Hindus or Sikhs in Multan at the time?
So I think that there were, because actually then my sister's friend, her grandparents, like, it just so happened that my mum was talking Saraiki, and they were like, we haven't heard Saraiki since we left Mulan.
Wow.
And they were like, got really emotional, and they were like, can we have a phone call with your mum so that we can just talk in Saraiki with each other? And like, yeah, so my mum like called up my sister's friend's grandparents, and they like now have actually a really lovely connection where they've sent my mum some stuff, and she like has sent them a couple of books and stuff.
Aww.
And yeah, they really have such a like emotional attachment with Mulan, but like they had to migrate and leave it during partition.
Yeah.
So I think that there were, and that's like a personal story of just like serendipity that it happened that they managed to find my mum and vice versa and connect over this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my dad's side, they did migrate, and basically they, in Punjab as well, they were in a village that they had been in for quite a few generations at that point. Mm. And my, like, both my grandparents were are related, so it was the whole family were already in like a bubble there.
Yeah.
And basically the day that partition, in the like lead up to partition, my grandma like kind of remembers like hearing different things that something was happening.
Yeah.
But she didn't really understand, and she was only 9, so she wasn't really told or updated what was going on.
Isn't it so weird as well that like we're so lucky that we have people who had have experienced it, yet like the people who are still alive who have experienced it directly were like children at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here, like often we're hearing children's stories now firsthand, which is wild.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, basically the day when partition happened, they decided, they were told, there were lots of rumours, basically, that, like, Hindus and Sikhs had poisoned the wells. And so they took all of the women and children to another village a bit further away to, like, protect them, whilst, like, the men stayed and, like, sorted stuff out. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then eventually the women and children were returned when they decided that they were just going to leave the village.
Mm.
But my grandma says that, to her understanding, that it does. They don't necessarily know if the wells were actually poisoned, and all those were just like rumors because of the fear that had been generated. But anyway, based on that, and obviously generally they wanted to go to Pakistan. They all went to, the whole family like moved across the border, and basically started walking. And so my grandma herself and like her, most of her family, walking for about 3 weeks.
Wow.
And she remembers, because I guess like sensory is the most prominent memory. She just remembers it, apparently it was like during monsoon season, so there was like a lot of torrential rain.
Mm.
And because you couldn't shower or anything, she just distinctly remembers this damp, disgusting smell.
Oh, wow.
That just like emanated from like would not leave you throughout your entire travel.
Oh, my
and like
gosh.
She still remembers like how awful that smell was.
And that was 3 weeks long.
Yeah. And then at one point my great uncle, so it's quite interesting because my great uncle got separated from my grandma, so he has like a different side to the story that he told us, where he got on a van to go ahead to the village that they were staying. Like this lorry thing, and so he met them there. And luckily they already had like some family in that village, so they all knew where they were going.
Yeah.
So most of them arrived there. And then they pitched up in this village and started a new life there, and then
And were they still doing the same trade, do you know? Like, or was it just completely different, like whatever they could get going?
Yeah, no, they farmed. They were always farmers, and they started farming again when they were when they arrived in the village.
Gosh, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. It is so interesting though, like the whole sensory experience of partition. And it's so weird because I was telling Asya a few weeks ago, I was watching Miss Marvel, and Miss Marvel does a really good job at like looking at partition, and at some points like really immersing you in it. And there's this one bit where, like, I hate to give the spoiler, but I'm about to give the spoiler, the main character is like immersed in partition India, and she's just there like at a train station, and there's just like crowds and crowds of people there, and it's like so, like, I remember just watching that moment and feeling so overwhelmed and like distressed as well, and like I just started crying in that moment too. And like I don't know what it is as well, like this year in particular, just like you, like partition has made, the idea of partition and talking about it has made me like very emotional too as well.
Yeah,
it's just such a big thing that's affected our families, and I think even though I've studied it for so long now, I think I'm only really understanding how much like it has personally affected my family, like me now.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And I, for a lot of ordinary people, there isn't like this really like to this day, both my grandma and great uncle were like, the biggest thing that I got from them, the part that made me the most emotional was like, that they still think of their original village as like their home.
Yeah.
Like the word that they used and is thus. And like they say it like it's really truly, you can hear the yearning in their voices when they said it, and they're like, I'm never gonna go home again.
Yeah.
And like it's so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And it's like, especially now as well, because there are so many hostilities between India and Pakistan. Like, we've talked about the idea of us like visiting our respective motherlands,
mm-hmm.
and that just not being a viable possibility,
mm-hmm.
because of all of the tension. And so just to think that even if they just wanted to go to visit rather than like actually live there again, it's still very unlikely.
Yeah.
75 years down the line.
Exactly. And then, as you were saying, just because I'm aware of time, your family then moved here during Windrush.
Yeah, so my mum's side of the family came in the early 60s, actually. So he was like, I think 1961, my granddad came over.
Right.
So he came over, it was involved in like factory work at the time, and I don't think my dad's side was involved in factory work at the time. I actually don't know too much about my mum's side of the family and their story, except for that they came earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But with my dad's side of the family, I know that my granddad came over first, in maybe the late 60s, early 70s, I'm not too sure. And he left my grandma,
mm-hmm.
And at that time their two children, so my uncle and my auntie, in India,
mm-hmm.
for like a good at least 5 years.
Wow.
So like just so that he could build a life in this country.
Yeah.
Because they were like still in the village at that time. I'm assuming that I know that they were economic migrants. So he was sending money back to India. But like these children just like hadn't seen their dad for so long. It was wild. And then eventually once he like did have a solid base in this country, like that's the thing, isn't it? That when immigrants go to a certain country for like economic reasons, like and other reasons, they're working really hard in terrible conditions to set up a life for themselves,
mm-hmm.
and for their families, and it just takes so long to do that. Like I have no idea what it must have been like for him being all alone in this country, only speaking Punjabi, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Like gosh, it must have been so hard. And so then eventually he called my grandma and my uncle and my auntie over, and at the time, I think he also went back to see her just before, like, he brought her over.
Right.
Because when they were first meant to come over, my grandma, she was pregnant with my dad.
Oh, I see.
So when they first tried to come over, she talks about being on this, like, train that was travelling from, like, I think Jalandhar in Punjab to Delhi to try and get the flight.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, was with her two kids, pregnant herself, like, in the early days of her pregnancy. And they were in the train and suddenly, like, the power cut off. And someone, whilst the power was cut off and, like, all the chaos was going on, had, like, clipped the bag and had taken, like, all of the passport documents and all of their money and everything. So they were, like, back to square one and they couldn't leave then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was probably, like, around March 1975 when my grandma tried to come over then.
Yeah.
And then obviously failed in that attempt. So then they tried again in, I want to say, October time, 1975. And by that point, my grandma was like 8 months pregnant with my dad. So I just don't know how she did it. Like, just being that pregnant, wow. She eventually then managed to come over. And then she settled down. And it's really interesting because around about that time as well, a lot of other family members settled down too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like once the word got around, like once someone was based in the UK, like, everywhere. The rest of the family just came over, and like you've seen my family now and you know that there's just like so many of them in the UK. It's wild. Like Birmingham really is like mini India in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that time as well, like they were living in an area in Birmingham, like around Smethwick, Handsworth area, which was like very immigrant populated.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like Indian immigrants, but like Pakistani immigrants too, Bangladeshi immigrants, and like then also just like other Windrush countries, like the Caribbean countries too. Like everyone was like put in this same area.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's such a wild idea in my head because mm-hmm. like racial tensions don't just exist between like white and non-white people, especially at that time. They existed between like practically every race.
Yeah.
Sometimes like races came together, sometimes like they really didn't. And I just like think about what it must have been like to live in that time.
Literally.
And like, how like to an extent that just probably heightened a lot of the like animosities between Indians and Pakistanis, mm-hmm. which is really sad.
Yeah, and just, yeah, I can't even imagine just so much turbulence in like a 20-year period.
Yeah.
For so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I can't even imagine having to grapple with that sense of identity.
No.
Of who you are coming to like a foreign land that is the country that tore your land apart.
Yeah, exactly.
And then being abused when you're here.
Yeah, it must have been so hard.
Yeah.
And like on like very personal levels as well, my granddad sadly passed away quite soon after like my grandma came over, like within, I think my dad was like 5 or 7 mm-hmm. when he passed away. He sadly like died in a car accident, and so then like my grandma still doesn't speak like very good English at all, mm-hmm. and so my uncle, like the older guy in the family, basically had to like take on a lot of responsibility as like a young 14-year-old,
yeah.
to just like try and navigate this new country, like learning English, mm-hmm. and just like, wow, just so much. It's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, madnesses. And then right. Yeah, my parents came over in the 90s, and it was
in the 90s.
Indeed.
What were their families doing in Pakistan before then?
My dad's side kind of moved from the village that they'd settled in post partition to another city, yeah. not city, like town, small town, yeah. It's like a military town called Wakend. And it was, yeah, so they, like, stayed in there's, like, a little, well, I don't know if the whole town is military town, but there's, like, a little section in it called the Officers' Colony, and, like, people could, like, buy land there. It's something to do with the military, I don't know the details. don't ask me. And so they moved there, and then, like, yeah, the whole family, half the family shifted there, like, my dad's dad.
Yeah.
And grandma, so my grandma and granddad and their kids
yeah.
moved over there, but then their, like, family stayed in the village.
Yeah.
So there's, to this day, we still have, like, our base in the village. So mm-hmm. I went to visit there when we went in November as well.
Yeah.
And they still have some family there.
Oh, interesting.
And then, but they're very much Pakistan. The only person that's left Pakistan from my dad's side is my dad.
Wow.
And then on my mum's side, she obviously came to England, and then like loads of others have like of her family have scattered
yeah.
across the world, including. So they're more. Mm-hmm. scattered, but she still has quite a strong base in Pakistan as well.
Ah, I see. So that's really interesting, just like how different our family lives in this country now are.
Mm-hmm.
Wild times
indeed.
Okay. But like, how do you feel your family are in terms of like, your family are very good and progressive in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
or at least like your immediate family as far as I know them.
Yeah.
So like in terms of relationships between like India and Pakistan, or like their personal opinions and relationships with Indians, like mm-hmm. what would you say that's like, and what's it like for the wider community?
Interesting. Yeah, I think that like my immediate family chill
yeah.
vibes, and generally, to be honest, I don't know, like I think it kind of depends. Some of the family is more conservative and more like Pakistan Muslim vibes, I'm sure. But I don't know, I've never really encountered much talk about India unless it's in a cricket context. Like, because obviously then we want to beat you guys. But yeah. like aside from that, like I genuinely can't think of or like if so my parents were in Pakistan when there was like really high nuclear war tensions between India and Pakistan, and all of the airspace got shut down, so their flights got cancelled, and they had to like stay, they were basically trapped in Pakistan.
Oh my god.
And I think at that point everyone was like, ah, India. So kind of depends on the vibes, you know.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is wild. You know what, okay, so for context to listeners, the Commonwealth Games have been happening
mm-hmm.
in Birmingham. So Ashley and I went to a cricket match together recently.
Yeah.
I tagged along with Ashley's family. It was a very cute time. So I was supporting India, they were supporting Pakistan. It was very cute and adorable. We were all like hugging, being friends and whatnot.
Indeed.
And Asya's mum put on Facebook this really adorable pic of me like putting paint on Mushul's face. Mushul is Asya's sister. And on the post, I was just reading it actually last night because I was just like, oh, I want to look back at that adorable photo and see what the comments are.
Oh my gosh, my mum is so popular on Facebook. Side note, any post she puts on gets at least 30 to 40 comments.
It's wild.
How are you this popular?
It's so wild. I love it. But anyway, so I was looking at the comments and they were all like, most of them were very adorable, sweet comments like, love this, how cute and everything. And then there was one comment that said, India can never be our friend, my dear.
Cheers. Who was that? What little snake?
This person. I don't know if you know that person.
I don't think I do.
Okay, anyway, so someone commented on that photo with that comment. And I was like, this is exactly it. This is like still the tensions that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And like my family as well, in particular, like I don't know whether or not it's because they came at an earlier time, just because of like the social background that they're from as well. But like my family still has huge like Muslim Pakistani animosities, and it's just so upsetting to see. Like it's changing very slowly, but like that's still very prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
So like in particular, when I think about our friendship, I like, our friendship is obviously very beautiful and I love it very much.
Indeed.
But like, and it was never, like, obviously we were just 12-year-olds when we became friends who happened to be next to each other in the register. We didn't know what the hell was going on in the world or anything.
Uh-huh.
So, and we just became friends, like, organically. It was very cute. But, like, suddenly I just realised, like, how inherently political our friendship is to anyone from the outside.
Yeah.
And it's just wild. Like, whenever my dad mentions, like, you to, like, family, like, oh, Manveed's Muslim friend, Asiya. I'm like, did you need to mention the Muslim bit? And it's just so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, my dad loves you and everything.
Uh-huh.
But I think when we first became friends and when, like, he first heard, like, Pakistani Muslim, there was, like, a fear.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because, obviously, we're great friends now and everything. But just to know that there was that initial fear is just, it's
like,
wild.
It's just an instinct.
Yeah.
Because of, like, how you've been brought up and, like,
yeah, and, like, whatever it is that he's been through in his life. And just, like, so many things. Like, so many family members have these issues. It's really sad. And it's, like, gone with them through all of these years into the UK.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mad. Madnesses. Yeah. So if people want to educate themselves, Mandy, how can they?
So there are many things that you can, like, read up on. Recently, there have been some really cool resources coming out since it is the 75th anniversary coming up. So Channel 4 recently released this Partition in Colour documentary series. I think as we are recording this episode, only the first episode has come out, but more will come. So you can look at that. They have some really good perspectives from their Sikh historians mostly, which is really good. And like even people whose ancestors were there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to hear that, really interesting to see the footage and like learn about their understandings and like how history has changed since then.
Mm-hmm.
Like we learned about partition when we were 16, as we've already said.
Yeah.
And one of the things that this documentary I think really like puts a good light on for me, at least, that I didn't really necessarily learn about when I was 16 or even when I was learning about partition at university, was just like how much fear there was from Jinnah's perspective about what was happening in Europe with like the ethnic cleansing of minorities there and how terrifying that must have been for Jinnah. I think at least in this first episode of the documentary, they really do a good point at highlighting that, which I don't think I have ever, I definitely didn't learn about that at GCSE.
Yeah.
And at university, I didn't necessarily read about that.
Yeah.
So it just gives some really good perspectives, which is one of the great things about, like, history, is that you're just constantly learning new things and new ideas. So.
Exactly. And you should always interrogate what you're being taught.
Yes.
Because that's important. And then my recommendation would be the writer, Manthul.
Yes.
Who has translated works in English. He has written a bunch of short stories about lots of different themes, including partition, because it impacted him and his life so greatly. He, like, migrated, he decided to go to Pakistan when partition happened, but he, like, towards the end of his life, he didn't live much longer after that, but towards the end of his life, he talked about his bitter regret at how awful partition was, and, like, it really deeply affected his psyche to see his motherland torn in half. And so he has some really, really insightful stories about it, including the most famous one, Thorbjörn Sigfússon, which I think just really summarizes how ordinary people were affected, and to them they just wanted to go home wherever that was. And how, yeah, you can't just switch your mind overnight into loving it somewhere new.
Definitely. And Riz Ahmed also has a song about Thorbjörn Sigfússon too, so you guys should also listen to that.
Riz Ahmed's always a shout.
He is iconic. But yeah, no, I think overall, like, partition is really sad, but our friendship represents something really beautiful.
Indeed.
Like, it is just ridiculous to, like, think that 75 years down the line, like, Muslim, Sikh slash Hindu, God knows what, Indian, Pakistani, and we both happen to be in Birmingham now, and, like, friends. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, this isn't even, like, necessarily unique, you know? Mm-hmm. There are so many people in this city who are, like, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, whatever, and, like, they're all friends and all chummy, and, like, but it's just so it's, like, it's still a miracle nonetheless, in my opinion, and it's still, like, so beautiful.
It does make me sad, though, to think, like, oh, we can have this, like, when we went to the V&A, not to prolong this as long as it's been, but when we went to the V&A, we were all, like, dancing and vibing to some Desi music and, like, the main hall of the museum, and I was like, yeah, look, there's Indians, there's Bangladeshis, there's Pakistanis, we're all just, and random white people, and we're all just, like, vibing together and dancing, and nobody cares who anybody is. We're all just, like, having a good time, and it's beautiful that we can do that here, but it's just so depressing that we can do that in England, which is, like, the country that perpetrated this.
Yeah, like, there's a reason why we're all here,
and we can't do that in our homelands.
No, it is wild. Yeah, it would be interesting to see what, like, our family, because I know that, and I'd hate to prolong this even further, but it would be really interesting. Like, I know that you were saying that when you visited, like, Pakistan recently, your dad mentioned, like, me as your friend, and he was like, oh, she's Indian, and your grandparents were like, ha ha. And I can, like, imagine my friend, like, my family in India doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And, like, it, like, particularly back at home. Oh, back at home, back in the motherland.
Just that was beautiful.
Just, like, family there really thinking well.
Yeah.
But yeah, well done to us for recording this episode, I'm not gonna lie.
I'm so proud.
And a new season of Audacious Aunties will be coming out soon. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to this special, and thank you for your patience in the past year of us just ghosting you guys.
Indeed. And continue the conversation. We want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, if you want more recommendations, more resources, more, like, specific historians, then, like, please feel free to message us, because this is actually an area which we know a fair amount about, and we can actually talk to you about it in a lot of context and detail, so please actually ask us for more resources, please. We hope that, like, whatever you're doing, you have a lovely rest of your day.
You too. Bye.
This audio was brought to you by Manveer Dobb and Asya Iftikhar.
We don't know much, to say the least.
But if you would like to share your thoughts, knowledge, criticisms, fan mail,
then pop us an email at audaciousaunties@gmail.com.